إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على الحبيب المصطفى عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، اللهم اجعلنا من أتباعه واجعلنا من شفعائه يوم لا ظل إلا ظلك يا كريم. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, these days in different places they are celebrating the birth of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that's one occasion. But the other occasion, at the same time, we've heard and we've listening to what happens and those ridiculous jokes that people are doing actually against Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. So we have like two things happening. One happens, and it has been happening for a while, and the other one is the occasion of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام birth. First of all, the celebration of the birth of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام is not a sunnah. It's not something that the Sahaba has been doing. It's something that happens after Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام from certain groups to express their love and obedience to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام to celebrate his birth. However, it's not a sunnah, and some people go too far with this one, which they should not be. But what is the purpose actually? And as ulama said, if you want really to celebrate, so to get the benefit out of this one is to remind ourselves of the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, to remind ourselves of who is the Prophet, to remind ourselves how can we be obedient to the Prophet, how can we actually articulate the good example of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام to our children and our daughters and our sons and so on. So that is, I'm going to discuss some of these points and to touch base on this one. But I will start actually with this one because a bit of a small discussion happened between me and one of the people who believes that, why are you angry against this one? And I'm just giving you some of the examples of that discussions. And one thing I remember during this one, I've read part of the Torah, which is, it's available anywhere to read it. And when you read it, you will find something strange. There's something strange actually that some of the prophets that we believe and we respect and we pay respect to them, they are actually in their books at the moment not that respect. So for example, Prophet Dawood and Prophet Sulaiman, they are actually mentioning that he has been attacking a palace and he's taken the wife of that king and he actually committed adultery against that wife. But at the end of the story, they still call him prophet. Prophet Nuh, they said actually that he was drunk and he is celebrating parties, and because of he has been drunk and he slept and he has been naked. And at the end of the story, they still admit that he's a prophet. And I've been asking that, who's discussing, this is what you're admitting. Prophet Muhammad hasn't done that. Even that we do know that all of these prophets have not done this. Because prophets are very much selected type of people. Very, very selected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ فَإِذَا صَبَرَ إِصْطَفَاهُ فَإِذَا رَضِيَ إِجْتَبَاهُ. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that level of dealing of people. If you are that beloved slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will test you, going you through very difficult tests. If you are going to be patient in that test, Allah will select you. And if you are satisfied and content, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ijtaba'a, Allah will make you near to Him. And this is the level that you go through. And that's the level of prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told ijtaba'a abdu. Ijtaba'a, that means you are near to Allah, which is the highest level. It's going to be very difficult. It's not for us. So prophets never have all of these stupid stories that we find. But despite all of that, they admit that they are prophets. Now, Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام hasn't done this. So even if we assume that it's a fact, so how can you say, for a man who hasn't done this, that you are making these jokes? Which is totally a ridiculous, a contradicting mindset. So someone who has done all of that, you still admit he's a prophet. And someone who hasn't done this, you admit and you make these ones, these jokes about, which is totally, it's very contradicting mindset. This is one. The other one actually is that, which is something that every time, and you probably need to understand this, which is some of our contemporary measurement. When we talk about democracy and free of speech and all of that, it's applicable to us. All of these things that we cannot measure people who are living 2,000 and 1,000 years back with these rules that we are today. Because they have their own rules. They have their own time. And according to this time, everything was different. So you can't say and contradict something that happens 1,000 years back. How come you don't have a free of speech? That doesn't exist during that time. And I give you a good example of what does it mean by history, which is a good example if you look at mankind's history. Old days, nothing was called employment. There is one way, which is called slavery. If you have a farm, for example, if you want to have some people to work for you, you go out in the market and buy two slaves to work for you. And that was the system. There is no employment. That was the system. So the people only, they said, but how can slavery, for example, in Islam, there wasn't employment during that time. That system doesn't exist. The whole system doesn't exist. So you actually get someone, you buy him, he or she works for you. And that was the system. And Islam is the first religion, system, defines something new to humankind. It's called Al-Mukataba. Al-Mukataba. And a lot of people probably don't know this. It's one of the rules in Islam, which is Al-Mukataba. What's Mukataba? Al-Mukataba is if a slave, man or woman, want to set himself free. And that's one of the rules in Islam. He or she has this. Has this even during Islam. So that is an ayah in Surah An-Nur. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهُمْ خَيْرًا فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ. والمكاتبة is one of the systems that assist a slave can set himself or herself free. He can go to his master and say, how much it's worth me to get myself free? And he's going to tell him the price. If the master refuses this, the slave has the right to go to the ruler and stand for it and ask for his right. And the ruler, by law, must impose this. It's a rule in Islam. And this is something probably a lot of people doesn't know, that it's a rule in Islam. That people say that, why Islam is continuing to have... No. Islam has rules. Because that was the system. So a lot of these things, probably we need to know about it. And we need to know that we should not measure people and assess those people lived in 1,000 years back with rules that is applicable only for us. Okay, because those ones have been developed by mankind, which is not applicable for them. And this is something very important. And if you look at the life, Sahaba and non-Sahaba, the Kuffar and non-Kuffar, all of them, believers and non-believers, you will see that having multiple wives is a system was there. It's allowable system that was there. Not only Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radiallahu anhu, before marriage, before being a Muslim, has 9 wives. It's a normal thing. So that was the system there. It's totally different than our days. So there is a difference between how was that system there and how is that system after Islam. And before Islam, a woman has no rights at all. And after Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandate the rule that he has الذمة المالية المستقلة. That means a woman can own and make business and has her own money and run her own business. And it's the right of woman to do that. And Khadija radiallahu anha, who is the wife of Prophet Muhammad, was a good example of this. So that has been developed in Islam. So a lot of these things probably is not being very much well defined and communicated probably to non-Muslims to know what Islam is about. And maybe it's one of our responsibility to communicate the message. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has been the example. And we should not be offended by these jokes because of a very important thing. Ask yourself something. A very simple thing. If you look a group of ants collected on something, gathered on something, what is that? It was always either honey or food. When the ants gathered this way on dirt, no. So when you see someone who is the people are like this, treating like him, just investigate who is that person and you will find the value behind him. It's nature of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this fact in Quran. Surah Al-An'am, إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was extremely unhappy. People are denying, people are treating so bad, extremely bad. When he was praying in Haram, just praying in Haram, they throw rubbish on his head. Totally. Why? If you don't believe in him, fine. But why you do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the wife Hind, which is the wife of Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the whole ayah. وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبْ فِي جِيبِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. Why she has done this? Does she hate him personally? إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. So the driver behind it is not you personally. The driver behind it, they deny what you are calling them for. So that's why you have to understand, because of the value of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, there will be enemies. It's a normal thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam going through a very difficult time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to give him, just to tell him, come down, be quiet. Because Allah told him three times in Quran, وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَدَوَ إِذَا مِنْ before you, Prophet Muhammad, what you are going through has happened to other prophets. The difference is that, brothers and sisters, that we know what happens to Prophet Muhammad, but we haven't heard them. We haven't seen them. The difference is that in nowadays, because we have that communication and internet and news and TV, so we know everything. And that one makes everybody angry. But that happened before. And if you look what has happened to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam personally from other people during his time, you'll be more angry when you read it in the story. More angry. But it's the same thing. So what we have to do here, that we have to know, one, that happens before to him personally alayhi salatu wasalam. Two, that's the type of test we are going through. Three, that this is anyone who is a person who has respect and has knowledge and has that benefit and value will always be treated like this. Because that's the function of shaitan. That's his, what are you going to do? That's his job, guys. You have to understand, it is the shaitan's job. Otherwise, he's not doing his job. So we have to understand that what we're going through, first of all, the very, very lack of knowledge of that person, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And that happened before. And we have to go through this one. And this is part of our test that we have to go through. And what we have to do, we have to raise that value. We have to tell the people, who is that person? What he has done? To give the good examples. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam in his mind had many good examples. Many, many good examples. I'm just going to remember whatever I can remember. I tell you one of the stories, for example, to one of his really, really enemies who really hate him. Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Umayyah ibn Khalaf, one of the kuffar who is a leader of tribe, who is hate Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam totally. And you will, when you read his story, you sometime will ask yourself, why do you hate him like this? You will really surprised. What is that level of agony? I mean, again, against Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Umayyah ibn Khalaf tortured Bilal ibn Rabah. Severe torture. And you will read this. Is this a normal human person who can torture someone like this? He enjoys this. وَلْيَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He lived a kafir, died a kafir. His son, Safwan ibn Khalaf ibn Umayyah, his son inherited the same behavior. But then Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, after the Fath Mecca, after he came into Mecca and he became Malik Mecca, the king of Mecca, Safwan ibn Umayyah felt that he has no place. He escaped. He escaped with Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, both, and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sa'id. All of these left Mecca. They actually escaped. Because all of these, they know, they think, if they're going to be caught, they're going to be chopped, they're going to be killed. Let us escape. Safwan ibn Umayyah, when he escaped, one of the people of his tribe, Umayr ibn Wahb, came to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and he told him, the master of our tribe, شيخ قبيلتنا, صفوان بن خلف. He said he escaped from Mecca. فأمنه يا رسول الله. أمنه, that means make him secured, safe, just to protect him from people, to kill him, to protect him from people. Now this person has, and his father has done so bad against Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. Look at what Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام has done. A very special thing. He took off his turban, because when they opened Mecca, Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام has his turban, special one, just for the people to recognize him. This is the leader. This is the leader of the whole people going, because they invade Mecca. Just a huge stampede of people, of Muslims, through from Mecca during that time. And what he gave him, he took off his turban, gave it to Umayr ibn Wahb, and he told him, give it to Safwan and put it in his head. And Safwan came in into Mecca having the turban of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام on his head. So people have seen him, and it was a very noticeable thing why he had the turban of Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. Something has happened, and that means we shouldn't do anything back to this person. And he came into Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said, this is not a behavior of a normal person. You have to be a prophet, because after what we have done against to you, and you are making me safe, مؤمنا, you can't be a normal person. You have to be a prophet. And he became a Muslim, and he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. عكرمة ابن أبي جهل. أبي جهل, he was one of the people, his name is originally Abu al-Hakam, and he was actually given the name of Abu, the father of ignorance, وَلِعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ. His son Ikrimah, the same thing, he escaped and he went west, taking a ship, and he was sailing, just going out of the whole Jazeera, just escaped. His wife Ummu Hakim came into Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, and she became a Muslim, and she said, Ikrimah, my husband, he escaped. أسألك أن تجعله مؤمناً. مؤمناً, that means safe. Not مؤمناً, because if some people read the statement مؤمناً, مؤمناً. He said, he is مؤمن. And she went to him and called him, and he came back. And when he came back, subhanAllah, can you see Abu Jahl, a man who abused Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, said huge, unbelievable bad words about Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ikrimah, his son, has done the same thing. And despite all of that, when Ikrimah was coming in, Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام came and said, tell his Sahaba, سيدخل عليكم عكرمة ابن أبي جهل مؤمنا. مؤمنا, that means he is safe. فلا تؤذوه, لا تسبوا أباه, that means don't say bad words about his father. فإنه يؤذي الحي ولا يصل إلى الميت, يعني it's not going to be no benefits if you say bad words about his father. It's going to make him angry, and his father is dead. So don't, just keep silent. If you don't want to show him respect, at least keep silent. And he came into Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, he used very hard enemy, and he became a Muslim. His behavior, Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, you have to understand, he has a function in life. He hasn't done anything for personal interest. Brothers, can you move a bit to the front? He hasn't done anything for personal interest, just to, for him to feel happy, or for him to feel, I have a oneness. He did it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to do this, or ordered him not to do this. This is it. His function is not something that he's going to gain any benefits out of it. And that's what is the misunderstanding. I think some people, when they criticize Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, they criticize him as if he's getting benefit out of it. He is not. He's not going to gain benefit. Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, when you read the seerah, and you read how is his house, the king of Mecca, he went on to Mecca, he was called the king of Maliku Mecca. He was the prophet and the king of whole Mecca at that point in time. And you look at his house, one of the Sahaba came into his house, he said, I stretched my hand and I managed to touch the ceiling. That's all. It's one room and one small one, another one. That's all his house. This is the Prophet. So there is no personal benefit of his life. all his life, إِنَّ نُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبَّ. It's the same thing as Prophet Ibrahim. That is the misunderstanding of a lot of people who doesn't know who is that person. And you have to understand that because the people doesn't know him, that's what they do. And that's even during his time happened explicitly to him. Hind bint Utba, the lady who hates his uncle Hamza, and she ordered one of his slaves to kill Hamza, and he needed just to set him free. And because she hates Hamza and she hates Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and I don't know if you read the story, she chopped him, get his liver out, and just cut it with her teeth. Can you see how far this lady hates the person like this? To get a liver out of a dead person and eat it, cut it with her teeth. And she became a Muslim. When she became a Muslim, she was like shocked. She said, "We hate you so much because we didn't know you. When we know you, we love you so much." Subhanallah. So that level of hatred against Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam totally changed to love from the same person. And what is the difference? Now she knows who is the Prophet. And that's the difference. And one of our functions is just to communicate and tell the people who is Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one of the issues that we have at the moment, is that level of knowledge that we can communicate and tell them who is that person, how is his life, why he married this one, and what is the story. Because every wife of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has a story and has a purpose. It never happens to anyone across the history that he married for a reason and there is a story behind the marriage. It's not only that he's personally interested in a woman and that's why he married this woman. Because if he's interested, then you will look at all of his wife and you'll find that some of them, for example, Umm Salama, very old woman. Why he's going to marry a very old woman like this? You have to understand, you have to read the story and understand the value of this one. So marriage for Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is not something for his personal interest. There was a purpose behind it. There is always a story and driver behind the story, and that's why he got married to this one. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وكفى الصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى اليمين والشمال مضلة والطريق الوسطى هي الجادة عليها ذات الكتاب ومنبر السنة هلك من ادعى وخاب من افترى وهلك أعداؤنا وأعداء الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. It's a promise from Allah. Whoever ridicule Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, or whoever ridicule Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will get their torture. And that's guaranteed, whether we defend it or not. That doesn't mean don't defend it. No, you have to. It's a must for you to show that. But they will get their share of their torture. And the torture will عذاب الله وليعوذ بالله severe. And I'm sure if anyone can translate this into Danish language or whatever language, I bet you they will die just because it's scared. What that level of torture, what does that mean, Jahannam? But they don't know. What can we do? And this is something that we want to share here. First of all, we have to know who is that Prophet. How is his life? It's not only about how is his birth and all of that. No, the good example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. What does it mean, uswa, a pioneer and a good example? He was the good example that you have to follow. And we have to get and understand what is that good example. Ma'rifa, al-ma'rifa bih. That means you have to know who is that person. And this is a must. It's not an option, brothers and sisters. You have to understand and look in the books and search. You will find a lot of information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a strong tool, the internet. It's easy to get knowledge now. So it's a must that you have to know who is that person. Two, you have to enable others to know who is that person. Share whatever you know about him, whatever you can.
tell the others, who is that prophet? Who is that person that actually, who is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Why do we love him? Why do we obey him? Why do we follow him? And challenge them. The mindset. Do not never ever offend whatever they say, but show them who is that prophet. What good examples he has. And that's why it depends on you that you have been that knowledgeable about the Prophet of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, our daughters and sons, we have to enable them through stories and through knowledge to enable them to love Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Love in our days is not going to come through that, because those Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them huge opportunity, the opportunity that they managed to see and talk to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and learn from him by example, by just seeing him doing this and doing that. We do not have that opportunity, definitely. But we still have his seerah, his biography that we can search and read about. Allah, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam called us ahbabu. Subhanallah. He said, I'm looking to see my beloved people. And said, Sahaba told him, نَحْنُ أَحْبَابَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He told him, no, you are ashabi. Because you've seen me. You've talked to me. But there are people who is going to come after me, love me, wish to see me, but they can't. And I love them. Subhanallah. So you have more opportunities than Sahaba. Subhanallah. Don't undermine this opportunity. Because Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam knows that each and every one of us, we follow, we love him, even if we haven't seen him. We wish to see him, but we can't. And this is one of the things that you have to transfer that knowledge of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to our daughters and sons, to know this one. Why do we follow him? Who is that person? And give as much as you can examples of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to your daughter and son. You can find this on the internet, you can find it in books, but you have to raise the value of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Unless your son or daughter see you doing this, he or she will not be doing this. And if you look at the Sahaba, when the Tabi'een, that means the third generation, who hasn't seen Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but they have seen some of the Sahaba and how they've inherited this, inherited the love of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. If you always looking to see Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable it in your dream. But you have to have that love, and you have to have that, you have to be desperate to see him. But it has to be a huge driver inside you to raise his value. You have to communicate with others. Because the problem that we have at the moment, we do not do that communication. I think one of the problems of Muslims that we undervalue that we have huge history, really valuable history, that we have to raise, read the history and see how valuable have we been. But where is that value is coming from? It's coming from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not becoming just we are Muslims. No. It's not because you are Muslim that you are a winner. No. It's because you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that obedience is the source of victory. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said it explicitly to the people around him. He said, told them that we are not winning any fight or any battle. Not because we are stronger, but we are always the weaker side. But we are always obeying Allah. And our enemy disobeying Allah. Our enemy is a kafir, and we are obeying Allah and believing in Allah, and that's why we win. So that means the winning is not because you are more stronger. You have to do your best in terms of ittikhad al-asbab. This is a must. This is a must. Because the tawakkul ala Allah, you have to, doesn't mean you have to do nothing. No, you have to do everything, the best of you, the best of your capability. But then tawakkal ala Allah. And tawakkal ala Allah, that means you leave the results for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have to do your best. We have not done our best. And that's the point. We have to know who is that prophet that we are following. And I don't think that Muslims at the moment manage to
to raise that value to others, to see the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to know that how great person that we are following. Brothers and sisters, what happens first of all is a test for us. That's no ifs and buts. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So it's a test. So you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing all of us. How you respond to that test. And that's the difference. You have to be positive. Whatever happened, you have to be positive. And you have to be proud that you are a Muslim. You have to be proud that you are following the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to say that explicitly. Say it. It doesn't matter whoever is he or she. People will respect you because of what you believe and what you stand for. And that's the point behind it. That's what we have to have that attitude. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise is that, first of all, whoever has done this will take his share of torture, which is something for Allah to do. That's not for me to do. But also promise us, who's going to be that patient? Who's going to raise the value of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? Who's going to communicate this value to others? Who's going to stand for it? Do whatever you can. You don't have to offend anyone. You don't have to break anything or to fight or to kill. No, you shouldn't be doing this. But raise the value of Prophet. Show the people, who is that person? Why is that person is that great? And why is that person that we follow? What are the values? What are the habits? What are the behavior of that person? How great behavior and a good example he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنك سلطت علينا عدوا عليما بعيوبنا يرانا من حيث لا نراه. اللهم آيسه منا كما آيسته من رحمتك ونقته منا كما نقته من عفوك. اللهم باعد بيننا وبينه كما باعدت بينه وبين رحمتك وعفوك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك أكرم الأكرمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نستغفرك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اهدنا لما ترضاه يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهدنا لما ترضاه يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يسر على أولادنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعنهم على دينهم يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم ارزقهم نعمة. اللهم ارزق بناتنا نعمة العفة والحجاب يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم ارزق أولادنا زوجات صالحات وارزق بناتنا أزواجا صالحين يا رب العالمين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وأنت أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم وصل على حبيبك ومصطفاك سيدنا محمد. اللهم اجعلنا من أتباعه واجعلنا من شفعائه واجمعنا معه يوم لا ظل إلا ظلك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم اجعلنا في معيته يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يسر علينا الصلاة عليه يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم يسر علينا الصلاة عليه يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين باسمك وبحبيبك المصطفى يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلي وسلم على محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وأقم الصلاة.